and Answers begins right now.
It's so important to disciple our children, but what are some practical ways of doing so? What if they weren't raised in a Christian home? They've walked away from their faith. They're now adults. These questions and more are addressed in today's broadcast, taken from the Evidence and Answers 2024 Apologetics Conference. You're tuned to Evidence and Answers radio broadcast with our host, Pat Zukran. Pat is an author, teacher, and international speaker in the area of Christian apologetics, the defense of the Christian faith. In our broadcast today, we will hear the conclusion by Louise Manley as she provides many examples of how to disciple your children at any age. Now let's get right to the conclusion.
See, making adults into disciples is extraordinarily difficult. By the age of 13, most of the people's worldview is so deeply formed that it rarely endures any kind of change. You realize that? I want you to think about your own life. Have you changed much since 13 as far as your what you believe about the core questions of life? D, here's another interesting one. Many totalitarian political leaders, Lenin, Mussolini, Hitler, Stalin, Mao Zedong, they all held to that same belief that was given to Aristotle, attributed to him. Give me a child until the age of 7 and they'll be mine for the rest of their life. So we have critical years. That's why you have to be a mama bear apologetics. Like, now is the time. 3, the dominant sources of influences on the minds and the hearts of children in 2023. This is Barna's new book. This book is telling us right now, there are six dominant sources of influence on your kid's mind. It looks like this. Excellent book. I actually wrote it in your appendix, so you have the name of it. But look what it says. Number one is arts. Number one, like number one now. Arts, entertainment, media have been identified as the number one influencer. They utilize, here's your first blank, repetition and peer acceptance. Those are your two blanks. Repetition, peer acceptance. So now she said that last night that, you know, still the number one source of whether you're going to have sex or not is really, it's still in the hands of parents. Not much else is. Why would social media, why would these different aspects have so much influence on your children? Any idea? You know how much they're on their phones? It just sends message after message after message after message after message. It just bombards them. And if they hear it enough, guess what? They actually believe it. Do you want to help me fill in what the other blanks are there? Anyone want to guess? Top six influences. I gave you one of them at the bottom. Government through its laws and policies. What do you think the other ones are? I'm not going to yell at you if you say something wrong. What was that? Education, schools. Schools is one of them. What else? Who else influences your kids? Parents. Okay, one of them is friends. So you can write that down. Friends. For sure, parents. They made it into the top six. Hallelujah. And with parents, I also want you to fill in family. Because that can be aunt and uncle, brother, sister. So you have parents, you have family, you have friends or peers. You also have, they spend a lot of hours here every day. School. School is a huge influence. And then you have government. That's the top six. Guess what's missing? The church. You know how hard it was on me to read that? The church has no influence. Listen to this. Church influence did not even rate in the top 10. While church ministries and parents have focused on a child's emotional happiness and felt safety, the media has purpose to address life's questions. And guess who's winning out? This is alarming to me. As a pastor's wife. But this generation of young adults, young parents, they don't see the value in taking their kids to church. So actually part of the reason that church doesn't make it in the top 10 is, guess what? They're not there. It can't influence them because they're not there. If you are a parent of young kids, I get it. When you hate going, you say, I go, and then I end up in nursery week after week. I go and I'm outside walking around with this child. He can't sit still. I go and the teacher is forever telling me that he misbehaved. He's pulling Susie's hair, whatever he's doing. Do it anyway, because by you taking them, it tells your children, this is valuable and it's not fun. I get it. I raised five of them. I get it. But it doesn't get you off the hook. You have to be proactive in instilling in them those kind of values. B, as parents, discipling your children is your primary responsibility in life. This is according to Barna. We can have a whole discussion about that. Could you circle primary? I'm not absolutely positively sure that it's my primary, but it certainly is up there. And that would be another workshop that perhaps they'd invite me back to do at another time. So we'll set that aside. This is the verse from Deuteronomy. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I give you today. Repeat them. Remember, social media repeats, repeats, repeats. You need to repeat, repeat, repeat again and again to your children. Talk to them. Circle the word talk. Or you don't have this, do you? So just put it capital letters. Talk to them. This is from Deuteronomy 6. Talk to them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you go to bed, when you get up, when you're going to soccer practice, when you're coming home from wrestling, when you are taking a bath, talk to them about Jesus. Write it on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So here are some effective strategies for you in discipling your children. Number one, could you be, I know everybody hates this word, but right now you're writing it down, authentic. Authentic. Be the real deal. You cannot give what you don't have, people. Research shows that consistency in the philosophy and the practices of parents has a huge and lasting impact on children for the rest of their lives. B, your lifestyle puts your beliefs and your belief system on public display. You do what you believe. You carry out what you believe about yourself, and you act in harmony with what you believe about God. So your kids look at you, and you know what? They, through what you do, they decide if this is real. Here's my one son, my youngest. He said, I think the most impactful thing was as a child constantly seeing you and Dad rely on God for provisions and directions in our life as a family. If we ever really wanted or needed anything, we would all sit down. You would tell us we have to trust God because he always provides, and then we would pray. And literally, we had no money. Like, we were dirt poor. And they'd be like, Mom, we want a bicycle. Well, what are we going to do about that? I mean, is this a want? Is this a need? Even if it is just a want, you can talk to your Heavenly Father about it. We'd sit down and pray. And for this one, he saw so many miracles, he just believes it. And now he's married, and his wife said, I just don't get him. Like, he'll be like, all right, well, we need a house. All right. Then we just start asking God, and we'll just see what he does, because he always comes through. It's a biblical worldview, right? And we didn't hide things from our kids. Kids, the reality is we have zero money right now, but God owns the cattle on the thousand hill. Like, if he wanted to give us one, I don't really want a cow, but a bike would be nice. A set of bunk beds. I could tell you miracle after miracle. Like, sometimes I think if we ever got hired by a real church and we weren't on mission status, I am a miracle junkie now, because we're stuck. Like, if we need something, we don't have the means to pay for it. So we really just have to go to our Father, and he does the most random things. And guys, if he can do it for me, guess what? He can do it for you. That next time your kid comes to you, I want to have a remote control car. And rah, rah, rah. All right, baby girl. Let's talk to Jesus about it. And in talking to Jesus, it could be that Jesus changes up that little heart and says, no, maybe we need to give that money to that little girl that we support in Haiti through Junior Church. That's another story, but I don't have time for that. All right, C, due to inconsistency between your, here's your first blank, talk, and your second blank, walk, of the parent, the youngsters reason that parents are just still searching too. You know, you tell them verbally, yeah, we love Jesus here. We follow with an undivided heart. You don't live it out, right? You tell them to pray, but what are you doing? Pulling out your wallet and just going to pay for it without ever praying about it, without ever talking to God about it, right? And so they think to their mind, oh, poor mom and dad, they don't really know the answers to life's questions in you either. They're still searching, so we'll just let them figure it out too while we figure it out. That's not helpful. Number two, be intentional. Be intentional about shaping your child's worldview. You need to aspire to be that number one influencer, right? Oh, no. Social media is not going to have the last word in my child's life if I have anything to do with it. You make up your mind. I'm going to stand in that. And how do you do that? If Amy said it once, she said it a bajillion times in this conference. What are you supposed to do with your kids? Talk to them, not at them. It is in counseling, which my master's is in counseling, pastoral counseling. One of the things that you have to learn is you ask the questions. You don't make statements. You just ask your kid, well, what do you think about that? What do you think God would want you to do about that? Where did you come up with that thinking? You just keep talking. And as you ask questions, some kids are more shy. Others will just like talk forever, but then you begin to discover what it is that they're faulty reasoning. But you can step in there and possibly correct it, or there's lots of different ways. God is God. But get them talking. Tell them what you believe God is saying and work with them on that, just like I had spoken earlier. Here we go. B, supervise their media exposure. Because media absorption will have the most impact on their worldview right now, more than anything else in culture, you have to die on that hill. I'm working with a mom right now. She has a teenage daughter, and she literally, I'm like, take the stupid phone away from her. Jump on it and break it into little pieces. She's like, I can't do that. She saved her Christmas money, and she bought it herself. I don't care. Then reimburse her if you're that worried about that. And she doesn't pay, she works to pay for her own plan. I don't care. She lives in your house and she is learning things that is making her absolutely contrary to you. She's so mean to her sister. She's been in the hospital twice for suicidal ideation. Like what else, what other sign in the sky do you need? Well, she gets her homework assignments on there. Well, then you get the homework assignment. Let her use your phone. Do the hard thing. And she's like, I don't want her to be mad at me. You guys, do you know how many times my children were mad at me? And it sucks to have your kids mad at you. It sucks. Because you love them and you want this nice, peaceful relationship, but you need to be the mama bear. Now, do it graciously. You don't beat them up. But you see, in this house, 10 o'clock, you turn your phones in. If you can't abide by that rule, then you don't get to have a phone. That's just the way it is. And remove yourself. You just become the administrator of the rule and the consequence. I know it sounds easier, but I've been there, done that, people. It's doable. C, screen their friends. I have to pick their friends? Yeah. Because they are in the top six dominant influencers. I'm going to tell you something we did as a family. You're going to think I'm nuts. But when I married my husband's family, his mom was at a cousin's house. Something inappropriate happened while she spent the night there. So he grew up without ever spending the night at anyone's house. So now we're married. And guess what he's demanding of our children? You don't get to spend the night at anyone's house. And I'm like, what? I had a lot of fun when I was little. We're going to deprive our children. He's like, okay, let's come up with a remedy. And what our remedy was, you can go to anyone's house and you can go to their sleepover and we'll drive at midnight to come pick you up no matter where you are. You got to be kidding, Mom. You're going to show up at midnight? Nothing good goes on after midnight. And you need to be in your own bed. So that's the standard of our family. Our children were never allowed at a sleepover unless an emergency came up and Randy and I had to be off island. Do you know what people said about us? And some of you are sitting there going, you gotta be kidding me. I like sleepovers. I finally get a break. There is no, you have too much. Randy and I run camps. We've been running summer camp. By the way, if you have kids anywhere between second grade and senior high, send them to our camp this summer. The last 2 weeks in June, you can find us on MolokaiBaptist.com. We have an awesome camp. It's only $99 for the entire week. They will have the thrill of their life, and they will get solid biblical teaching, and they'll make great friends. That's my little plug. But we have worked with kids I've been doing junior church and Sunday school for 35 years. We've been doing camps for over 35 years. We, both of us coach at the high school. Like there's just these many ways. And I'm telling you, after working with kids, you have got to have the guts to say no. You just have to. D, facilitate active participation, both in attendance and service, in their community of faith. Kendall said one of the best, that's my daughter, she said one of the things that influenced her the most was being in church consistently and sitting as a family. We developed in our family, like, we're the Manleys, not arrogantly, but this is who we are. If you're in the Manly family, you don't get to spend the night at everybody's house. So you know what? Everybody around us adapted. Do you know how many kids spent the night at our house? Because that was the only option. But we got to interact with all these kids. And to this day, they're like our kids. They're all honeyed in. I have so many children, I don't know what to do with them. All right, last one, E, teach them. Teach them is your first blank. Pray with them is the second blank. And when I say teach them, I want you to do it not necessarily sitting at the table for devotions. I actually hated family devotions. I will admit that, Lord, I'm so sorry. My dad was a pastor in a church in Maryland for 43 years. Randy's dad is a pastor for years, retired when he was 75. Then I'm like, Lord, I will do anything but be a missionary to Africa and be a pastor's wife because I don't want my kids submitted to that. That's what I told God in fifth grade. Well, I still ended up being a missionary, but not to Africa, to Molokai, which is a lot better, I think. And at the time that I met Randy, he was only a youth pastor, so I could like fudge on that, but then something happened there. So never say never, all right? I'm just saying that. But in all of that, it's like, I don't want the kids to have to suffer at family devotions. Hear me out, in that structured way. But we had all kinds of family discussions around the table, let me tell you. And we still do. When everyone comes home, we still sit around the table and just all kinds, especially now that I have two of them that have Randy's degree is in Randy's a doctor in apologetics. And now that's what Clinton's getting. So we have really some deep, heavy conversations. But this is my daughter, my blonde-haired, blue-eyed, kind of girl. Catching me right there? Mom, I think the question is this. Talk of the Lord and incorporation of God was a part of every single thing we did as a family. From playing with our toys, to hiking in nature, to being at church, to being in relationship with others, to wrestling, all of it. God was tied into all our conversations and organically talked about in our family. They all wrestled, all five of them. Yeah, that's another story for another day. But wrestling has so many life principles. And so we just pull it right back in. You know, I know that kid has beat you every single time. However, the Bible says you're to be an overcomer. So get your head in the game, right? This is all part of it. Like to live the Christian life, you're going to have opponents all over the place. There's one, his name, he is your enemy, and it's not the person sitting next to you, right? By the way, stats also say 72% of kids do not believe there's a real Satan, that there's any kind of enemy found in this book, right? So they are duped. All right, moving on. Teach them. Pray with them. Conclusion. A, nobody can be forced into being a disciple. That's an act of the will. Look, you can't make your yeast grow. You don't get to control it. You set up the environment. You give it the perfect temperature of water. You give it a little bit of your sugar. You give it nice time to grow. But your yeast could be old and it doesn't work, right? You can't control everything, but you can set the goal of making sure that everything is as well as it can be for them to rise up and be who God called them to be. You might have all the right ingredients, but God actually initiates all your transformation. B, remember that God's promises are still yes and amen, right? Look at Proverbs 22. Direct your children onto the right path. When they're older, they won't leave it. How's that going to work out? I don't know. But his promises are yes and amen. Also, Galatians 6, I'm going to go down to the bottom. Don't grow weary of doing what is good. In just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So ladies, in your appendix, there's a great book out. It's called Parents Rising. And they list there the 8 strategies. Amusement is not the highest priority. Parents call the shots. Routine and boundaries provide security. Prayer and Bible are present daily. Marriage takes the front seat. Good food served on a table. Love is spelt by time. Launching adults, not just babies. All right, I knew I threw a lot at you, but listen, this is you right now, right? You're working on your bread. If you're a grandparent, you still have a heck of a lot of influence. You're still a family member, and you can influence your child, who in turn will influence that other little child, right? Your job isn't done until God takes you out of here. So consider all of this and say, God, by your grace, I'm going to produce a little bread that's going to grow up to be a big bread. He's going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. He's going to go out and bless others. He'll obey your commandments, but he'll also love other people. He'll have spiritual fruit, and he will pick up his cross and follow you. Isn't that what you want for your kid? Now, go be intentional. I need to know who here has had 8 children or more. Anyone here have 8 or more? 7 or more? 6 or more? How many? I got 1, 2. I have 3 of you. All right, we are rewarding these moms. It may not be the greatest, but it's for you to go home and remember what you're doing. You are so welcome. Good job on being a mother of 6. All right, ladies, let's pray. Bow your head, close your eyes. Dear God, these are our little babies. These are the ones that were formed inside our womb. And you knit their little parts together, and you made them to have the imprint of you, the God of the universe. And by the time they come out and they arrive in this little world, they're but clay that you've entrusted to us to mold. They're dough that you've asked us to knead. And God, right now, we're asking you to help us do it well. Lord, we are choosing on this day to be intentional. We're going to set goals for our kids. We're going to make the right definition of success. But ultimately, we know it's you that does the changing. So right now, in Jesus' name, we ask you to come help us, Lord. Lead us that we might be disciples so that we can make disciples for you. Thank you for this time together. Bless the rest of this conference in Jesus' name. Amen.
Once again, we've run out of time. Thank you for joining us here on Evidence and Answers. Our goal is to bring you the love of Christ and to equip you in your faith to always be ready to give a response. If you would like to hold an apologetics conference or series of teachings at your facility, contact Pat by calling him in Hawaii. That number is 483-0586. Or you may email him through the Evidence and Answers website. That's evidenceandanswers.org. Be sure to browse through our listing of topics on our site. We have everything from atheism to Zen Buddhism. You will also find articles and additional audio for you to listen to or download. An additional location to find Pat's messages is on YouTube. Look up Evidence and Answers and hit the subscribe button. To keep quality broadcasts like Pat's on the air, we rely on generous financial support from you, our listeners. Donating is simple. Just log on at evidenceandanswers.org. Evidence and Answers is grateful for one of our sponsors, the Honolulu Christian Church. If you don't have a home church and are looking for a place to grow in your faith, check out the Honolulu Christian Church. For service times, log in at honoluluchristian.org. Join us again next time on the air or online as we provide compelling reasons for faith in Christ. That's Evidence and Answers with Pat Zukerman.